The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, you are in for a special treat today. I have one of my favorite human beings on the podcast today. This is Nita June Burris. She's one of our next level members. Maybe our buffest female. She might be our buffest male next level member. This girl is like, I call her ma'am when we're in person. I'll just tell you that. But she started a Diamond Cleaning in the Rough service January 2001. So we're recording this in 2021. So girlfriend has got a couple reps in on this deal. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina. They serve both residential and commercial. I'll have to yell at her later. She's still serving residential and commercial with the fist shake. So give us a little bit of, if you don't mind, intro of just like a 2-minute overview on how you get into the company and what the last 20 years have kind of been like. And then we'll dive into some more specific how to help people grow.
Okay. Well, it was a long story short. I left a bad relationship and I was technically homeless, me and my son. And we, I left my job and my whole life behind. And started a whole new life. And I realized that, you know, I have experience and my background is business. And I used to clean part-time for a cleaning service because I was a single mom at one time. And you know, I was taking care of my son. So, you know, also did some in college. So I thought, well, I think I'll start a cleaning service. So I placed an ad in the paper and boom, it took off. You know, I was getting referrals and I kind of grew off of referrals to begin with and gradually, you know, moved in. It took me about 2 or 3 years, started hiring, grew from there, more referrals. Then I got a website and then it just really started growing. It was kind of back and forth through 2008, but I made it through 2008 and was still going. I had to change, and I was always ready for change, always ready for change. And if I tell anybody who's in business, always be prepared for change, because if you don't change, you won't grow, you won't learn. If you stay the same, you're just going to stay where you're at. So that was a big, big thing for me. And I don't mind change. So that was easy. And so I just kept growing on through the 2000s. And in the last few years, the business really took off. I realized I needed to get out of cleaning. So that's whenever I started looking at podcasts on Amazon. I wasn't looking for podcasts, but I was looking for something to help me get out of cleaning and something to help me grow the business to make it more efficient. That's how I found your podcast. And then the more I listened to podcasts, the more I was like, okay, I want to do this. And so I think I can't remember if I called or emailed. But then I think it was Lou contacted me.
Before we even get into that, let's just talk about it. So it'd been 20 years of you cleaning and hiring, and you still weren't out of cleaning, correct?
No, because the business was growing and I wasn't doing as much cleaning as I was, you know, in those first, 5 to 10 years. Let me back up. Around before 2008,
We want to go forward, not backwards. Sorry. Okay. Just to be
well, clear. At one time I did get out of cleaning, but then 2008 happened and then I got back into it. So that's kind of where I dove back into it and then kind of got the fear. And that's where the fear developed, because I was afraid to stop cleaning because of what happened in 2008.
Real quick, let me break it down for
okay.
You're going to say a lot, and I want to make sure we get everything before we go forward.
Right.
So I heard a couple things. First of all, there's two things I want you all to listen for. One, 2 or 3 times you mentioned 2008. What happened in 2008, if I may ask?
That's when the bottom dropped out of the market and I lost almost all my commercial clients. They started cleaning themselves or they went out of business.
Let me encourage all of you guys and gals. Anytime we externalize, we're always putting ourselves in a place of vulnerability and reactiveness, right? If the market, COVID, the market, the bubble, whatever can put us out of business, I would encourage all of you, as opposed to go, well, there you go, we had a good run and I'm done, to go, okay, well, what is the flaw in my business model, right? Because every business didn't go out of business, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And every business didn't take their cleaning in-house. I guarantee all the big businesses continued paying cleaners. So I want to encourage all of you guys to kind of own your side of the road and never just be like, because we get that. And the reason I'm picking on Nina for a 12-year-old thing or 13-year-old thing is we're getting this a lot during COVID, right? We coach several people in the same markets and we'll hear some people go, well, there's COVID. What else could I do? And other people are going, I'm crushing it during COVID. So it has everything to do with how you respond, not how it is. So first thing I want you to take away. Second, I want you to hear what Nina said. She did not go searching for, I need a coach, whatever our services are. That's not what she was searching for. She had a problem and she was searching for a solution. So she said, I want to get out of cleaning forever. And guess what she found? Probably a podcast or some content that we created for free that was, here's how to get out of cleaning forever. So the reason I share that for you is a lot of us, when we go to market, we want to sell cleaning services. So we'll say stuff like, Mike's cleaning service, buy my cleaning service. I have cleaning services. And we talk about the service that we want, but that's not what people are searching for. People have a problem and they're trying to solve it, right? So stop yelling at your cleaner. Stop wasting time with your cleaner. Stop arguing with your husband over who's going to clean the house. Stop feeling guilty because you don't have time with your kids. That's the problem that they're trying to solve. So just like Nina very naturally kind of walked through her progression, that's how your people are. So I want to make sure we get it when we buy that way. When Nina told her story, nobody thought that was crazy. Like, of course, she didn't want coaching. She wanted to get out of cleaning. And if I tried to sell coaching, which is, I guess, what we do, we wouldn't have connected. But when I offered, here's how to get out of cleaning, that allowed her to come. Third and final thing, Nina, and I'm loving your story, Nina, because it's so representative of so many different things. There's like, there's 1,000 lessons we can unpack and I'm going to have you continue. I just want to make sure everyone gets what you're saying, like 17 important things. I want to be like, hold on, let's make sure we unpack some of the value in the two or three we said, and then we'll get the next two or three. So the last big value thing I want you to hear from Nina, and this is so typical, is she's like, well, I started for 5 years or 2 or 3 years, I think you said, doing all the cleaning. And
I think it was 2.5 years.
That's fine. And some people take 10, some people take 6 months. So that part is there's phases and we kind of get to determine how much we want to tolerate in each phase. So there's, I clean everything. And some people do that for 2 weeks and some people do it for 20 years, right? Nina chose 2 or 3. Then there's, well, wait a second. I can only clean so much and I can only make so much and I don't like cleaning all day. Maybe I can get some help. So we get some help, but we're still cleaning. As much or more than ever. And now it's just as opposed to cleaning 30 hours a week, we're cleaning 30 or 40 hours a week and running a company 20 hours a week. So we want to drop dead. And some people live there forever, right? And then we get out of the next step is I'm quote unquote, I'm doing the huge air quotes podcast friends. I'm out of cleaning. Well, unless there's an emergency. Well, how often is there an emergency? Some weeks, none. Some weeks, 7 times. I got to clean every day. So that's step 3 of kind of the metamorphosis from cleaner to owner is generally I don't clean, but I still have to clean. The problem is even if you're like, I only have to clean, you know, 1 to 5 times a month, you don't know when it is. And you have no control over your life, right? If you could work a regular 8 to 5, 40 hour week job, that's not great, but at least you know what to expect and you can make plans. I would almost take that over. You only got to work 10 hours a month. That's all. But I get to say when they are and you get no warning and it's stressful and whatever plans you have, those are gone. And we tolerate that because we think, well, we're, and just like when we start cleaning, we have nothing. When we start our business, we have nothing. And then we clean 30, 40 hours a week and make a living wage barely, but we have to clean all the time. And we're like, well, this is at least better than being broke or having a job. And then we hire people and now we're making more money. Supposedly, typically we don't make any more profit, but our company's bigger and we're still cleaning. We're managing. And we're like, but at least I have help. So we keep thinking we're better. And then we finally get out of cleaning and we don't have to clean 30 hours a week, but we do have this master, this leash that just anytime he yanks that chain and we yelp and get to work clean, whatever our husband, our wife, our spouse, our kids, all y'all got to go. I got to go clean toilets. And that sucks until we say I'm done cleaning forever. No matter what, I don't clean. I own a cleaning business. I never, ever clean. That's when we're out of clean. And I guess we don't see this as much. All the three phases we just talked about, very common. The last one is kind of what Nina talked about, which is I can get out of cleaning for a while as long as nothing upsets my apple cart. There's no bubble. There's no COVID. A key employee doesn't leave. And that might last for 6 months where no one yanks your chain and you get to clean sick. And that doesn't go as often. And then the last step is I never clean no matter what. I have systems and processes that make sure I never clean, period. So I just want everyone to kind of see Nina was just telling her story, right? She wasn't trying to like fit into some sort of narrative, but her narrative was perfect for exemplifying kind of what most owners go through. And again, the heartbreaking part is we'll get people, a lot of times ladies that have been cleaning for 20, 30 years, and they're still on step one or two. It's heartbreaking. So that said, Nina, when you came to us, I'm not as worried about the who you talk to and all that sort of stuff. I'm more worried about the what made you want to change and what was your fears, what were your frustrations, where were you stuck, what was making you crazy?
I think it was a mindset. I typically have a pretty good mindset. I'm a very upbeat person, but you know, then I have those downtimes where I'm like, man, I wish I'd just work with somebody else. I don't want to do this. You know, it's those days. And it was those days I have to clean, and it was frustrating. I still, to this day, even though I've been with you guys, I'll find occasionally I'm cleaning and I'm learning, you know, I learned that A, B, C, D, E to Z. And, you know,
for the folks at home, let me explain what that is. Because I get angry emails. What are you talking about? You did this. So typically, when folks come to us with, I'm cleaning sometimes, right? There's the business has my chain and it yanks it periodically and I don't like it. And when it yanks, I clean right now, middle of the night, middle of the day, whatever plans I had, those are done. 80% of that is understaffing, right? We don't have a system to hire. Mm-hmm. We do have a system to hire, just miserable, right? There's some version of, I get 100 applicants. I go through 26 applications. If I'm being honest with myself, I give up after that and leave the other 75 mm-hmm. to rot because it's so frustrating. Of the 26 people, I call 15 of them and chase them. And it's like herding cats. And of the 15 I get a hold of, 7 say they'll show up. Of the 7 that show up, I blow 2 or 3 days waiting for these 7 to show up. 3 or 4 actually walk in the door. Of the 3 or 4, 1 or 2 or 3 instantly within a minute, I'm like, oh my God, no. Of the 1 or 2 that are left, maybe 1 is like, yeah, not really a good fit, but if it ain't, I'll be cleaning tonight if it ain't this guy. So I guess he can start. Nina's like, oh crap, he's got me. He watched me. And then maybe, God willing, on a good week, we'll have one. So, cause that's so miserable. As soon as we get barely staffed, right? Like scotch tape together, where as long as nothing goes wrong and something's always going to go wrong, we're quote unquote mm-hmm. fully staffed. And then we go, this is such a miserable hiring process. I want to do it no more. And then until something goes wrong and they're like, forget it. It'd just be easier to clean. And then we get sick of cleaning and we start the whole disgusting process all over again. So 80% of the lack of cleaning is we don't understand what fully staffed is, right? We feel fully staffed is wildly different than what actually fully staffed is because it's such a miserable process. So obviously mm-hmm. step 1 is get a good hiring process. And that's part of what we teach. But what Nina's talking about, which is going to be, I don't want you to think this is the solution. This is once you've got a good hiring process in place, this will help. But until you have a good hiring process in place, this is worthless to you. But what A, B, C, and D is she's talking about most of the time, especially before we have a process, A is the cleaners that show up are supposed to show up. B is somebody doesn't show up, I beg the people that are already overworked to work even more. And I arm wrestle with them and they either don't do it or they do it. I feel like I owe them like money and riches and you know, whatever. And then step 3 is the owner cleans. That's our A, B, and C. We want you to have, before something happens, you've got A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So you've got 4 or 5 things that you can take, none of which involve the owner clean. All right, please continue. I just didn't want you to gloss over that.
People, no, it's okay. So, and one thing I didn't realize was that I already had certain systems in process, but I needed to go further because I was still cleaning. So my ABCD, which I already had another company to help me, my friend's company, when I needed help, he helped me, I help him, you know, vice versa, we traded off. So, but, you know, getting out of completely was still a challenge and still a little bit of a challenge to this day. I did recently hire a floater. Thanks to you guys teaching me how to do these group interviews. It's made it so much easier and I love doing it. If I could do group interviews every day, that would be my job because I love doing it. I love talking to people and meeting people. And it's just, I mean, if other companies wanted me to do that, that's what I would do. With the retirement communities that we service, I've pretty much have full staffs in 2 of the retirement communities cleaning, and they use me almost like a temporary service. Except we're full time. I have people there all the time, night and day working, which has been great because I can do that hiring that they're not able to do.
So let me ask you a question, because it's so funny. Mm-hmm. People come to us for two things, and I want to hear your story. I know most of your story, but I'd like to hear it again. I know Clean Nation would like to hear it. Mm-hmm. The two reasons people come to us are time and money, right? They don't have enough of either. I want more time and I want more money. When you came, mm-hmm. was it more? Which did you chase? And what kind of results have you gotten in terms of how do you have more time, less time, more money, less money? Mm-hmm. And we say money, by the way, not just for Nina, for everybody. I'm not talking about revenue, right? People get super, I got a $20,000 a month company. I don't give two craps about that. How much money do you get to keep and take without cleaning, right? If you make $3,000 a month, but you clean for, you know, 40 hours a week, that's called the cleaning job. No matter all the revenue and other stuff you do, you're not getting, obviously you're not getting paid for that. So what was it for you, time or money? And what was the big
impact? I think it was time, because I found myself making less than my employees. If you would put me at the wages that I pay my employees, because the amount of hours that I'm mm-hmm. working, I was making less than they were. Even though, yeah, it looks like I make a lot of money. Everybody thinks you can just dip into your business. You just don't take that money out and it becomes yours. You pay yourself just like you do your employees. So definitely making less money. I have no time. I recently got married in February, and I see my husband on the weekend, and in the few minutes whenever I walk in the door, he have dinner on the table for me. I eat and get on the computer, you know, and he would go to bed because he has to get up early in the morning. So, you know, the extent of our relationship is weekends.
Yeah, when you married one another, I don't think that was the plan, was that he would be your cook and you would just pass in the night, you know, cook/roommate. Like,
well, he would like to spend more time with me, that's for sure.
For sure. So for those out there listening, you know, Nina and I talked for a minute before we started, and I think she started with us in May. So she's been, mm-hmm. been working together we're recording this just before Thanksgiving April, 4 or 5 6 months. For those of the listeners that don't have the benefit of getting to work with us for like you have, can you distill down what the biggest kind of takeaways and ahas that you've gotten that enabled you to make that transition?
I think the biggest thing was the hiring funnel, learning to work that hiring funnel. I turned it off one time and regretted that. I won't do that again. It was a lesson learned. Sometimes I have to learn the hard way. But I did learn getting an assistant to help me with my emails, and scheduling was a big help, and training her to help me do invoicing took a lot of off my plate. And then that allowed me to be able to go out and focus more on the hiring and you know, to fill all these job positions that I have. I still am growing, so I'm consistently hiring. And you think you have enough, and then you have, you know, more positions come open. And so you just continuously hire. And that was a big thing, learning that, because for me, it was like going out, okay, I need like 5 more people. So going out, trying to find people, hey, anybody need a job? And, you know, and most of the time I got my employees from my other employees. They were always, but I'm running out of other employees. You know, you get to a certain point and you kind of like depleting that and for me, it was the best way to hire. But
so let me,
you know, I did the Indeed and some of the
let
other
me recap
things.
What I think I hear you saying. So I heard a couple patches in this quilt. Let's see if we can put it all together.
Okay.
So I hear you saying a couple things. First, the problem is, and I think this is what happens with so many owners of cleaning companies, you had good, so it was harder to get great, right? If your life was just a complete mess and you had nothing that worked hiring, you might've gone to get some help sooner, but you didn't have that. You had some things that were working that kind of tricked you into thinking, maybe I got this, maybe it's okay. So you had a good referral network, which is super important, by the way. Guys, gals, the number one, we don't talk about it a lot because it's not scalable at all. Just like Nina said, at some point you run out of other employees, right? Which believe it or not, isn't true. Once you get to like 30, 40 team, 50 team members, you should have a steady, that can almost be like more than half of your lead flow as it comes to new employees, because the quality will be higher, but the quantity is sporadic, right? It is what it is. When you've got 0 to 20 cleaners, you know, you got 6 guys or gals, they know the people that they know. Like once you've kind of run through that, you know, unless you're like, hey, go meet more people, like you're kind of stuck. So please don't hear me knocking referrals. Those are the one of the best sources. It's the least scalable, but it's a really good source of quality. So because you had that, and it sounds like you had a relationship with another cleaner where you could kind of like scotch tape this together. All right, if my guy didn't show up, your guy will come. If your guy didn't show up, my guy will come.
That's what I was doing.
Plus, in case of emergency, I've got this miserable hiring process that I hate, but I can do it if I have to. You had enough to be like, okay, I'm good, but you weren't good. So you were good, but you weren't great, right? You still weren't living the life. And again, I don't want to sound judgmental. I'm not judging you. If any of you are out there listening and you're happy with the system and process you have, and you're living the life that you want, both time and money freedom, then don't do my thing. Do your thing. What you're doing is working. Go. But we tend to, because we're walking through life in so much pain we have to have, just to get through the day, we have to have defense mechanisms, right? We have to tell ourselves, it's not that bad. This is better than before. So we kind of tell ourselves softening lies. I hear this all the time. I love cleaning, Mike. It's not that bad. I love cleaning. What they're really, Nina's nodding her like, that wasn't my lie, boy. I did not love cleaning. But we'll even tell ourselves these lies because we're like, either I tell myself I love cleaning, so it's okay when I have to clean, I'll just say I love it. Because that belief, adopting that belief, is easier than having to deal with the real problem when my system isn't working. So the thing I want to give you is, whatever your story is, and it may not be that you love cleaning. It may be, I don't mind. It's better than it was before. It's not so bad. If that's truly your truth, you're like, I love my business. I love the time I put in. Everything's good. You're good. Do what you're doing. But if you've got that gnawing feeling inside that you kind of like, shut up, I can't talk to you now. I got to go clean. I got to go do rags. I got to like do important things. You got to listen to that thing. Because if you don't, you're never going to do anything to change it. You just be stuck. So with Nina, I would say, I wish I could say, coming to us and working with us is the best thing you ever did. And that was the magic. And I'd like to think we contributed. But really, until you got to the point where you were clear on, I got to get this fixed, I won't live like this anymore, you did something. You went, for you, it was going on Amazon and trying to solve that problem. And when you saw something, following up and taking action. So your route, Cleaning Nation, might be different, might be listening to this podcast. The first and most important step is really doing an honest assessment, right? Give yourself a little like, okay, I'm going to strip away all the lies I tell myself about. It's okay. It's not that bad. I don't mind. My husband won't be pissed. My wife doesn't mind me working all the time. She's supportive. There's a difference, by the way, being supportive and happy and supportive and miserable. Most of the people I talk to have amazing spouses that are supportive, but they're still miserable. Like, okay, just because my wife's miserable, but she says it's okay, is that okay? Like, for me, that's not okay. So I would encourage you, the action I'm here would be to just take a minute to really assess your business and your life, time and money, and go, is this where I thought I'd be when I started? Is this the time and money freedom I had? And if it's not, take away all that softening lies, was that bull crap of, it'll be okay. It'll just get better. I'll just work harder. You know, it'll figure itself out. It's always a new thing. Steve, my good employee, said he's got his friend Susie, she's coming in and she's going to be, we tell ourselves all these short-term stories. But if we look back, you're like, well, Steve and Susie haven't solved it for the last 5 years, right? They're not magically going to solve it tomorrow. I got to do something different. So I just want you guys to get, as much as the tactics and techniques and things that we had Nina do that helped, until she said, I'm not going to tolerate this life anymore. It's not good enough. I'm not accepting it. I'm not going to be a stranger tonight with my husband. That was the magic first step. Am I being completely crazy, or how did you experience that on your end, Nina?
You are exactly right. For me, it wasn't so much that I like cleaning. It was, yeah, I was good at it, but I have a personality where I have to be the best at everything I do. I've been that way since I remember my first job as a cashier. I looked at all the other cashiers and I was like, you know what? I think I can be the best cashier here. And this was in high school. And I made up my mind. I said, I'm going to be the top cashier. And so I put my mind to it and I did it. And that's just the kind of person I am. No matter what it is I do, I want to be the best. I don't have to beat anybody, but I want, in my mind, you know, I focus and I have to be the best at no matter what I do. Like, I want to have the best cleaning business that I could possibly have, that I could possibly run, where I'm servicing not only my customers, but my employees and my community, because it's very important to me. And if I'm cleaning, I'm not helping anybody except for that person I'm cleaning at that moment. And it's very frustrating.
Let me translate that for everyone else, because that is such a common theme. Honestly, Nina, that was better than my example of, I do hear quite a bit, oh, I like cleaning, and I know that that's not the truth. More often I hear exactly what you said. There's this fear and belief, I'm the magic cleaner. I'm the best. No one can clean like me. If, you know, which is good for our ego, right? I'm the best, whatever it is, cleaner, cashier, wife. And then sometimes that's good. I want to be the best husband because that's really an important measure. But what we don't do is finish the thought that Nina actually finished. So we say, I want to have the best cleaning company. And we, ignorant is too strong of a word, but we, from lack of experience, translate that to, I need to be the best cleaner. And then we translate it to, I am the best cleaner. Well, guess what? I've talked to 1,000 quote unquote, the best cleaners, and 999 of them by definition are not correct, right? Because only one could be the best. And guess what? None of them made any money. The best cleaner out there is cleaning the toilet broke, making 15 bucks an hour. What we really want to say, and that's where Nina was able to kind of see and close the loop, is I don't want to be the best cleaner. I want to have the best cleaning company. And that's a weird thing that we make that connection, like, oh, to have the best cleaning company, I need to be the best cleaner. Again, it's an ego stroke. When I say, Nina, you're the best. No one can clean my house like you. You're amazing. I love you. Yeah, Nina's rolling her eyes because she's been through that. She knows that where she knows where that. When you're new, we don't know where that ends. We're like, I'm the best. My clients will only tolerate me, right? Because it's an ego stroke and it's about us. So we can stay in our safe little comfort zone of going to do a very comfortable thing. You give me money, I clean toilets. At the end of that, I feel good because the way I'm wired, the house was dirty and now it's good. And I can point to my work and say, I did that. And then someone gives me money for it and tells me what amazing human being I am. Fantastic. And if that's all you want out of life, God bless. There's nothing wrong with that. That's honorable work. Go do it. For many of us, though, that's not why we got into cleaning. We wanted something bigger. So we can either be attached to that belief of I'm the best cleaner. My clients will only do me. If here's one that I'm going to hit you right between the eyes, Cleaning Nation. For those of you who are like, oh, he hasn't got me yet. Here I come. I can't risk my reputation with anyone else because they'll all do it wrong and ruin my reputation. So we kind of make this highfalutin sounding, I'm a person of integrity thing. But what we're really saying is, I don't want to be a business owner. I want to be a cleaner. So really important that you close that loop. Nina started with, I'm a good cleaner. I want to be the best at cleaning and people love and need me. And then pretty quickly went, what I discovered that meant to me was I want to be the best owner of a cleaning company. And those are mutually exclusive. The best cleaner is not the best owner. And the best owner is never going to be the best cleaner. Period. End of sentence. That's it. I use McDonald's all the time. Their burger ain't great. But they sell the most of them, have the most impact on the world as it comes to burger creating. There's some dude in probably Texas that makes a mean hamburger, maybe Kansas City, that's better than anyone else in the world. That dude's making $41,000 a year. And the 173 people that buy his burgers every year, their lives are changed a little bit because it's an excellent burger. McDonald's, however, is in a whole different business. So I just want to encourage you guys and gals, don't tolerate the lies of it's okay, I'm fine. And then the lie Nina brought up is insidious. I don't want to risk my reputation. No one can do it like me. I'm the best. You know, my clients will revolt and their lives will end if I don't personally clean their stuff. Those are all weak beliefs that are just going to eat your freaking lunch. All right. We have gone way too long because you are too fascinating. Nina, you got 30 seconds to end us up. If you had one thing you could say to Cleaning Nation to help get them the time and money freedom that you're achieving, what would that be?
I would say do this program. And you will not regret it. I don't ever want to leave. I want to become permanent here. I want to be in the millionaire mastermind. I want to go as far as I possibly can go and service my clients, my employees, and my community. I see something in this program that I haven't found in any book or any audio that I have done in the past. And I just see myself, you know, growing in the best way possible, just being with you guys.
So that hits
and the camaraderie ways. Here.
One is a coach and owner. I want to cry and give you a big hug and go, you're so sweet and I love you. And you are the best. Two, as a podcast host, I'm like, all right, that clearly sounds like that was scripted. I set you up to say that. Cleaning Nation, yeah. I can assure you that was not scripted. So just to make sure, for those of you like, screw you and your program, I don't want any of that crap. I'm not buying what you're selling. That's okay. Nina, give the best feedback you can give to folks to get their time and money that isn't a shameless plug.
What about myself?
Anything, if just picture you out there, there's a young woman. Sorry, fellas, but Nina's a lady. So we're going to go with that. Just picture a young woman like you who's working too much. She's told herself the same lies that she's told you. or that you've told yourself, and she wants what you have, what's the best 30-second advice you can give her other than join our amazing program?
Get your systems and stuff in order, know what you're making, know what money's coming in, what money's going out. It's so important. Quit cleaning, and give yourself some time.
Beautiful.
Give yourself some time.
That was, if I could say it better, I would, but I can't. So we're going to end with that. That said, Cleaning Nation, two things. One, as much as I appreciate Nina, given the kind words, just so you guys know, we're good on clients. We get hundreds of requests per month. At this point, we'll take a dozen or so at the most. So please don't feel like you're being pitched anything. That said, if you're like, holy heck, I do need more of that, growmycleaningcompany.com is the repository for everything that we have. There's over 700 podcasts. I've got two books. There's a Facebook group. The best place to go is the free on-demand training. That's got the five shifts that you need to have. So if you're like, I would like more of this stuff, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. That's where you can get just about everything you need on how to grow a cleaning company. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.